I heard a male voice clearly say to me, my eyes were closed because I had glass in my eyes. I was probably beginning to go into shock. And I heard a male voice clearly say, David, it is well with your soul. That hymn has special meaning to me ever since then. Some other words that we encounter are words like comforter. And so I did a web search on comforter. Did you know that a comforter is a thing you can have on your couch or on your bed that you can pull over to, I guess, comfort you, right? That's one way of being comforted. Then I found another one that said Southern comfort. And being a Yankee, I figured that was just a Southern quilt. Well, it is a quilt in a different way, is it not? Southern comfort. How well do you know your Bible? It's quiz time. Do you recognize the name Job? Not Steve Jobs, but Job. Did you know that Job had some problems in life? Didn't start out that way. It was going wonderfully well until one day the devil went before God and said, how about that servant of yours, Job? And from that point on, things went downhill real fast for Job. Did you know, and watch for the quotation marks, that Job had three friends? Three friends. Now, those friends went to Job, and all went well as long as they kept silent. They sat with Job for a long time. But then they decided to let Job know what he had been doing wrong in life, or at least they were letting him know that obviously all this trouble that's fallen upon you is because of, obviously, you've offended God in some way. They came to him in his distress and suffering, and they spoke to him. And there is a lot of biblical real estate in the book of Job on what they said to him. Now, I'd like to read from Job 16, how Job replied to those three friends. I have heard many things like these. You are miserable comforters, all of you. Will your long-winded speeches never end? What ails you that you keep on arguing? I also could speak like you. If you were in my place, I could make fine speeches against you and shake my head at you. But my mouth would encourage you. Comfort from my lips would bring you relief. Job was a godly man. The comfort that he could bring to others was due to the comfort he received from God. He was a godly man in tune with God. We are to be comforters in our life role, but not like Job's friends. And it's so easy. It is so easy in our sinful selves to become like Job's friends. So rather than look at the negative example, we'll look at the positive example. You know, thinking about the military, I was in the military. I was PFC for most of my time, my 3 years. I was whatever comes after PFC, Specialist Fourth Class, is what I was when I was separated from service. And I received no comfort from my basic training drill instructors. None whatsoever. Yeah, it was just the opposite. But they had to be tough on us, right? It was the same time that, for those of you who have been around a while and may remember this, the Cuban-Russian missile blockade, the fall of 1962. And I was in basic training, and I thought for sure I was going to end up storming a beach in Cuba. But thank heavens I had signed up for a role. My life role in the military was that of an electronic countermeasure specialist. And because of my electronics background, they were wanting to train me to do electronic warfare, not storm the beach type of warfare. So that's how I ended up not storming a beach in Cuba or anything else like that. Instead, I went to Korea and Turkey in my overseas tours. But my life role in the military at that point was that of being an electronic countermeasures search and analysis specialist. Sounds pretty complicated, and it required a whole bunch of schooling in Massachusetts and New Jersey. So I was prepared for it. I had to be prepared because it wasn't stuff I naturally knew. The Bible teaches us in our life role as comforters how to comfort. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. The scripture reading, if you have your Bible with you, is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, or you can use the Pew Bible, or your tablet, or your phone. I like using my phone because I can highlight stuff and save it and store it and mark it and that sort of thing. Is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. And we'll look at these in a little bit of detail, but let me read this word of God first. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. And end of reading. Now, keep in mind in the context of this, Paul has been suffering much because of his zeal for the gospel of Jesus Christ, his zeal for the gospel of Christ crucified. And it just got him into trouble over and over and over, no matter where he went. But make no mistake about it, the troubles he had were physically, emotionally, and spiritually real. When he was beaten with lashes and with the rods to the point of death, it was real suffering. And when friends would betray him, it was real suffering. And all that he went through was real suffering. And true, it was because of his mission for the gospel of Christ, but he suffered very much nonetheless. So if there was anyone who knew about suffering and comfort, it was Paul. So when we read through these verses 3 to 7, did you see how many times the word comfort showed up? I mean, talk about identifying the theme of the passage. So let's take a brief look at these verses and at what we might take from those verses, starting with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of mercies and God of all comfort. I went ahead and underlined the word all. All comfort. Father of mercies and God of all comfort. What can we take from this? We ought to be seeking and receiving God's comfort if we expect that in our life role we are going to be a comforter for someone else. We don't want to be a comforter like Job's friends. We want to be a comforter like how the Bible describes. And that comforter is God Himself. So, we need to seek and receive God's comfort. It's the comfort you and I need. Whatever is going on in our lives where we need comfort, it is His comfort. He gives us some vehicles for doing this through prayer, and His Word. I thought about when we were doing the prayer, I almost asked you to go ahead and kneel for the prayer, because a friend once told me that, and this was directed to men, said, "Men, if the knees on your pants aren't the first part to wear out, then you're not in tune with God. If the seat of your pants is the first part to wear out, you're just sitting too long. You need to be on your knees." But we need to know Him by prayer and through His Word. He is the God of all comfort, and it's for all of our afflictions. And we see that in verse 4. He comforts us in all our affliction. All of our affliction. All. Not some. Not just the ones we think are most important, but all affliction. Whatever it might be. A lot of our affliction sometimes is up here. Sometimes our affliction is here. It's a heart thing. And then other afflictions are very physical. And we all endure them. I always remember when we first came to Grace a number of years ago, Pastor Rich made mention of to the young people, if you haven't gone through any trials in this life yet, just wait. They're coming. They're coming. And those of you who have been through these afflictions understand what we're talking about. So verse 4, He comforts us in all of our affliction, and the result, or what the purpose is, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. Okay, any means now some specific afflictions. Specific afflictions. And isn't it true that if you have the opportunity to have someone come to you who has gone through what you're going through, you relate a whole lot better, don't you? Yeah. In any affliction. So we are now able to afflict, we are able to comfort those who are being afflicted because we have first been comforted in our afflictions, no matter what they are. We can turn around and help someone else or comfort someone else because He is the God of all comfort. And it's God's comfort for you through which you can comfort someone else. If we try to comfort someone from just regular old life experiences, we run the risk of being one of those so-called friends who tend to be more self-focused than God-focused. Verse 4, being comforted by God. And in verse 5, we share abundantly in Christ's suffering so that through Him we share abundantly, abundantly, ongoing. In verse 5, ongoing, abundant comfort, not just one time, not a one-time deal. Let me give you an illustration. My father passed away the end of February. My mother's home church pastor has telephoned her every evening since then. And if he hasn't yet called this evening, she's expecting his call. And he may just chat with her for a few minutes, but it's a call of comfort. It's a call of comfort. And the chatting might just be, "Well, Dorothy, how are you today? What'd you do?" And she'll tell him what she did. And she's comforted by that. Can you believe that? This guy is a pastor of a small church. There's two other pastors there. He's also the main instructor at the local seminary for that denomination. And he takes that 15 to 20 minutes, that's all it is, sometimes 10 minutes each day, to make that call. He's also a tennis coach at Michigan Technological University. And when they went to Hilton Head for a tennis tournament this spring, his calls didn't stop. They came every evening, sometimes as late as 8:30. She was already ready for bed, had her pajamas on. But if he called, she would not say, "I was in bed." She would just say, "I'm glad you called." It's not a one-time deal, being a comforter and comforting others. Think about ourselves and the comfort we receive from our Lord. Just think if he comforted us once and then said, "We're done." What? That wouldn't be much of a God, would it? He's always there. He's always there with abundant comfort. So our comfort for others needs to be patterned after God's comfort for us. And I know you know, as I know, that God's comfort is eternal. Comfort cannot be excessive. Comfort cannot be excessive. Job's friends spoke excessively, but they weren't speaking comfort. They were speaking from selfish hearts, not hearts in tune with God. And God let them know that a little bit later on in the book of Job. Wonderful reading. Verse 6, when God's people are afflicted, it is for the comfort and salvation of others. Did you hear that? When God's people are afflicted, it's for the comfort and salvation of others. Paul understood this. No matter what, if we're being comforted by God in our afflictions, that's the main deal, then it's for the comfort of others. Now, we are to be comforters no matter what. It's part of our life role, no matter what the circumstances. And in the midst of that comforting of others, we are to patiently endure suffering. I made an announcement for Pastor Robertson tonight. He's, to me, an example of one who is patiently enduring suffering. That neuropathy, the pain, that nerve pain that he's having is horrendous. We're there when he winces and he has to stop talking because it's hurting so bad. And then the next breath he's saying, "Well, Dave, what are you teaching on in your Bible class?" You know, he wants to know. He said, "What's the next topic series for Wednesday nights?" He wants to know. He said, "Is Pastor Justin still on fire?" I said, "Yes, absolutely." No matter what, we are to patiently endure sufferings as we receive comfort from our God, so that we can in turn comfort others. How about that for another reason why we're sometimes having to endure things and we wonder, start wondering why. Instead of wondering why, which is a self-directed focus, let the focus be on how can I comfort someone else. You all know what I mean. If you're going through something and you go off and serve someone else, you tend to forget for a little bit. It doesn't have quite the impact, your own suffering, because God somehow uses our service to others as we comfort them to help even us. Verse 7, the last verse in our text. The Christian's hope for others is unshaken. Hope for others. Hope for others. You notice that the scripture is not differentiating between believers and non-believers here. We're just to comfort others. But especially, I think, unbelievers. Because they're the ones who need hope the most. And our hope for others is unshaken. Do you have unshaken hope for someone who's an unbeliever? Knowing that God is faithful? Is there someone you've been praying for that they would come to faith in Jesus Christ? Our hope for others is unshaken, knowing that as we share in our sufferings, we share in our comfort. Comfort is of God, period. Our sufferings are shared as we comfort others. You know, I jotted a little note down to myself here. I said, when our comfort in sufferings is shared with others and has as its source the comfort we receive from God, that's true comfort. That's true comfort. You know, I went back and looked up some scriptures that assure us of our source of comfort, because it's being assured of our own comfort and from where it comes and what it's like, is that gives us the ability to be a comforter in the biblical sense. So I've got some Bible verses here I'd like to share with you. The first one is from Isaiah 49:13. Isaiah 49:13. Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. We can depend on that. Shout for joy. Rejoice. Burst into song. For the Lord comforts. The Lord comforts. Action. And will have compassion on his afflicted ones. He knows who's afflicted. The second one I have is from Psalm 23. Ooh, don't we usually say it the other way, the 23rd Psalm? Psalm 23. Here's the other part of the quiz. The word comfort appears in the 23rd Psalm. What comes just before it? And just before that, just before thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. How bad is that for being afflicted? That's pretty bad. Tough times. I took this from a different translation because we all quote King James, those of us who are beyond a certain age, right? Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even the implements of a shepherd that are used to guide and almost even discipline the sheep are a comfort. Whatever we're going through. So what kind of comforter is God? Isaiah 66:13, first half the verse. Isaiah 66:13. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. I thought about that as we walked past the nursery tonight. One of the kids was kind of howling. And you know, the howling would stop immediately as soon as mama picks him up. Almost immediately. Yeah. As a mother, if you're a mother, you understand this. As a mother comforts her child, so will I, God, will comfort you. That's the kind of comfort I like to have. John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. How about that? This was Jesus' prayer to the Father, that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter in this translation, that he may abide with you forever. Abide, live, close with you, no matter what you're going through. Psalm 119:50 brings it home to what I was referring to earlier. Psalm 119:50. My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. Your promise preserves my life. That's my comfort in suffering. When we know we are assured of life eternal in heaven with Jesus Christ our Savior, no matter what we're going through, that brings us comfort. Amen. Yes. Psalm 119, 76. Psalm 119 was full of these references. May your unfailing love be my comfort, according to your promise to your servant. Unfailing love is a comfort. It's a comfort we don't get anywhere else. Unfailing love. Unfailing love is our comfort. And it's according to God's promise, which is never broken. Isaiah 61:2, quoted by Jesus when he stood and spoke and announced his life role, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. To comfort all who mourn. Many different reasons for mourning. I went through a lot of mourning between December, January, February, and March, and right through the burials in May. I went through a lot of mourning to comfort all who mourn. One of the reasons Jesus came, to provide us comfort. His death on the cross brings us comfort. And it's a comfort we can share. It's a comfort we can share. Matthew 5:4, blessed are those, this is from the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Yeah. And John 14:1, Jesus comforting his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. A source of our comfort is our very faith in Christ, which is itself a gift from God. He provides us comfort through our faith. And we can be thankful for that. So, three things that I'd like to summarize with as we wrap up our life role that we're called to be comforters of others with the comfort that we receive from God. Number one is receive God's comfort for yourself. That's got to be foundational. Whatever your affliction, doesn't make any difference. No one is unique. We all have afflictions of some sort. How can we receive God's comfort for ourselves? Pray. Be in God's Word. Are you in God's Word each day? Even just a few minutes? Number two, be a comforter. In other words, turn it around. Take the opportunities that God provides, but you're going to have to avoid self-focus. When we focus on self, we miss the opportunities. You all know what I mean. You're somewhere, you're interacting with some people, and later on you say, oh, I wish I would have taken that open door, that open window, and said such and such. You miss an opportunity. When we are proactive, knowing that one of our life roles is that of a comforter, rather than stand speechless like Job's friends, let's offer the true comfort of God's Word. Knowing God's Word helps us to be a comforter. Number three, continue to be a comforter. It's not a one-time deal. And not just a little, but abundantly. And to be an abundant comforter, we need to be immersed in God's Word. You know what I mean by immersed? Don't just read it. When you finish reading it, say to yourself, what did this say? What do I get from this? What's God teaching me from this? What can I carry with me through the rest of the day? What would God have me change in my life? That's called repentance, because we all need it. Ongoing. Your life's role? We're mentors. We're mentors. We're comforters. And that word comfort just brings a peace. Comforter. Being comforted. Peace like a river. It's good for the soul. It's part of our hope. God's comfort for you is to be in turn to be a comfort to others. Amen? Amen. Let's look for those opportunities to be a comforter. And instead of feeling uncomfortable, let's remember what Christ did for us. He was not comfortable going to the cross, but he did it willingly. And if he can do that for us, we can suffer a little bit of uncomfortableness, maybe even to be a comfort to others. But we need to do it following the example of our Lord himself. Absolutely. Amen. Now may this word of God comfort us and make us bold in our life role as mentors and comforters as we walk on this earth in this time that God has given us to serve him and others. Amen.